Oh, your sound is okay.
Hearing okay?
Yes, that's good.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Should we begin?
Just a minute or so. Well, if you're ready, bismillah.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and those who are suffering from this COVID or any other issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them shifa, heal them, and those who passed away, may Allah forgive them and bless them with Jannah, inshallah. May Allah remove this pandemic from us. So we are going to have our reading, our study of section 14 of Surah Al-Imran, starting with the ayah number 130. Remember that the discussion last week was of the Battle of Uhud, which is the second battle that happened in Medina. The enemies, that means the Quraysh of Mecca, who were pagan at that time, they came to attack Medina and attack Muslim community and the Prophet, peace be upon him. And it was a very difficult time. There were several things that happened in this battle. First of all, there was a discussion whether meet the enemy inside the city and defend the city and don't go out, or the second option was to go outside the city and confront the enemy there. Number of people wanted to go outside, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted that suggestion, that idea. At the last minute, although the number of Muslims was small, the enemies were about 3,000 and Muslims were only 1,000. But at the last minute, the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul and his followers, they agreed to come with the Prophet ﷺ to defend the city, but then at the last minute, 300 of them, they defected and they left. So there were only 700 Muslims. Must have disturbed people. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ appointed people different places where they should stand to defend and to fight the enemy. And a group of them, but 50 of them, archers, those who knew how to throw the arrows, were appointed at a hill. And Rasulullah ﷺ instructed them that they should not leave that place without his permission and stay there. And then the battle started. And within few hours, Muslims were winning and defeating their enemies, who were three, four times more than them. And since the people saw that the enemies are retracting, running away, some of the people, they got busy in collecting the booty, the spoils of war. And the people on the hill, they also thought that the battle was over. And many of them, or most of them actually, they left the hill and came down to collect the booty. And at that moment, Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was not a Muslim at that time. He came from behind and killed many of these people, archers, and attacked the Muslim side. And there, the enemies from Mecca, they attacked Muslim side and many Sahaba were killed. Almost 75 or 70 of them were killed. Among them was the uncle of the Prophet, Hamza. And number of other prominent Sahaba were also there, they were killed. And Prophet himself was wounded, fell down, and people thought that he also was killed. And many of them were disheartened and gave up. But then the Prophet ﷺ stood and called them, and they regained their morale and their spirit, and they stood to defend the Prophet ﷺ and the community. So the kuffar, they retracted and they left back to Mecca. So it must have created a lot of sadness in the community, and also some anger about those who defected. 300 people defected, and then some other Muslims, two groups, they were also about to leave almost. And then the whole issue that why we went outside, we could have defended ourselves better if we were inside. All of these things must have been going on, as well as the sorrow and sadness, seeing that some of their relatives, some of the prominent Sahaba were killed, and the Prophet himself was wounded. All of these things must have created a lot of unhappiness and anger, upset conditions. So Quran is here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his message and reviewing the whole thing, correcting them, telling them what are the things that they should do to make their moral and ethical life better. And then also supporting them and promising them. All of these things are there in these ayat. So now we are going to study the ayah number 130. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفة واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون واتقوا النار التي أعدت للكافرين واتقوا الله والرسول لعلكم ترحمون O you who believe, devour not interest, doubling and redoubling it, and remain conscious of Allah so that you may prosper. Be aware of the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers, and obey Allah and the Messenger that you may receive mercy. So you might say, why, in the context of the Battle of Uhud, why there is a discussion of interest? Do not take interest, do not deal with interest. Consume interest is the same thing that you are involving that. Don't get involved into interest. One of the reasons that is given by our scholars, Imam Razi, one of the great mufassir, one of the great commentator of the Quran, he says that the people of Mecca who came to attack Muslims, they were involved in riba. They were involved in interest. And they purchased a lot of weapons through this interest money and came to attack Muslims, well prepared to attack Muslims. And so some Muslims might have been tempted, and they said they have money and they were able to buy weapons. We should do the same thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them, no, you should not do that. Don't get involved into riba. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la ta'kulu riba. Riba is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. We discussed that. The ayah number 275 to 279 emphasize that Muslims should not get involved into riba. Riba is interest, usury, that is you use other people's money, and I mean take the money, borrow money, and then pay more on the money. There are different categories of riba, so we mentioned that. Here Allah says, "La ta'kulu riba adhafa mudhafa." Do not take riba, doubling and multiplying. So there are some people who interpret that, which is not a right interpretation, it's a wrong interpretation. They say Islam forbids doubling or multiplying. That is, don't take interest when it is doubled. That is, you give certain amount and you double that amount or multiply that. That they say that it is forbidden. But that is not the case. Our scholars, majority of the scholars, almost all of them, they say that adhafa mudhafa, doubling and multiplying, it was the situation, that's what they were doing. It is not the reason, it is not the cause of prohibition, but actually it is the situation, that's the way it is. And actually, riba itself, I mean, interest is, it becomes double, triple. Whatever you do that, it is compounded. And the compounded interest is that which goes on. You give somebody 1,000, and you say the interest is 10%. And then if you pay in 1 year, so it will become 1,100 at the end of the year. And then a person is not paid, so then it goes on, increases. Slowly it increases. So a small amount multiplies into multiple. Like people go into mortgage, they take 100,000, and in 30 years, actually the amount is almost 400,000 that they pay. So 100,000 becomes 400,000 by the time it is paid. So it is adhaf and mudhafa, it is doubling and multiplying. So that's the nature of riba. Riba multiplies. Even you might say it is only 10%, it is only 5%, it's only 2%, but it multiplies, and it multiplies. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ta'kulu riba adhafa mudhafa. That's the situation of riba. It is forbidden in Islam. Islam allows that. Ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba. Allah has allowed buying and selling, commerce. In the commerce, you make profit. But profit is okay, because you make profit and you may also have loss. But in riba, the one who has money lender, always make profits, whether the situation is good or bad. And that's why there is injustice in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't get involved into that. La ta'kulu riba adhafa mudhafa. Wattaqu Allah, and be aware of Allah. Be mindful of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. And if you are conscious of Allah and live your life in piety and goodness, you will become successful. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you may prosper. The real prosperity will come when you obey Allah and you do right things. Eventually, riba creates economic disparity. It creates injustice. It creates unhappiness. It creates difficulties. So some people make a lot of money, but other people not. So that's why Allah says, اتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. And then he says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So understand the context. The ayah is not just out of place. The ayah is in the context of what was happening in the society at that time, and especially in this battle of Uhud. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that. And said, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, and be aware of the hell. That you protect yourself from hell, which is prepared already. Uiddat lil kafirin, uiddat lil kafirin, is ready, prepared for the disbelievers. So heaven and hell are already prepared. They are not that maybe may happen, may not happen. No, they are there. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي عُدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, and be aware of the fire, and protect yourself from the fire that is already prepared for the disbelievers, those who know the truth and they don't reject the truth. So those are the ones who are called kafir. And then أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, and obey Allah and obey the messenger, obey Allah and the messenger. Quran sometimes says "Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul," and here it says "Atiyu Allah wa Rasul." So it's the same thing. Command is to obey Allah and obey and the Messenger, so that you receive mercy. Obey Allah, because man yuta'i Rasul faqad ata'a Allah. The one who obeys the Messenger obeys Allah. So why Messenger is mentioned? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala sent His book, His message, and then also send the message through a messenger. So it is not the book came by itself, or the prophet's job was only to convey the book, the message. No, prophet was given the authority to explain the message. وَنَزَّلْنَا وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have sent the book to you so that you may explain to the people how whatever is revealed. So prophet explains, and his explanation is the authoritative explanation. Whatever prophet explains, nobody can say that, well, this is just explanation. It's like anybody else's explanation. So there is a big difference between prophet's explanation and any other mufassir's explanation, any other commentator's explanation. The prophet's explanation is authoritative. So however he, the way he explained, that is the way to be followed. When Allah says that you pray and the prophet explains how you pray, then you have to follow that. The rak'ah, the ruku' and sujood and all the details, that these are part of the prayer. And about fasting and about charity and about hajj and all the other rules that are there. So Rasul came to explain, and his explanation is important. The explanation is part of whatever is given. So that's why the two sources of authority in Islam are the book of Allah, the message of Allah, and the explanation of Prophet Muhammad, Quran and Hadith. And if you do that, you shall receive the mercy of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Quran mentions here that you will receive mercy of Allah. In another place, Allah says Allah will love you if you do that. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me. That means follow Muhammad, salawatu Allahi wa salamu alayhi. And Allah will love you. So you will receive the love of Allah if you follow the Prophet of Allah. And you will receive the mercy of Allah if you follow Allah and His Messenger. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And Allah's mercy, Allah's love, Allah's blessings and compassion and kindness, all of these things are, they come when people live their life in obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give them instructions how they should live their life, the believers, so that their situation become better. So it is like moral exhortations, spiritual exhortation for them, so that they get out of this situation in which they were, come out better people. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. And hasten unto forgiveness from your Lord, and for a garden as vast as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous, those who spend in his way in ease and in hardship, who restrain anger and pardon others. And Allah loves those who do good. And those who, when they commit any indecency or wrong, or wrong themselves, remember Allah, and then seek forgiveness for their sins. And who forgives sins but Allah? And they do not knowingly persist in whatever they have done. So, sari'u ila maghfirati min rabbikum. Hasten. Compete as if in a race to seek the forgiveness of your Lord, and to seek Jannah and for a garden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you should be trying to do excel each other. Go fast in that. Although in the worldly things, Islam says that Allah gives you whatever you have. This, okay. I mean, you can compete, but it's not that really is emphasized. What is emphasized is that you compete in goodness, doing good things. Seek the mercy of Allah. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ سَابِقُوا فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. So the Quran uses the word سَابِقُوا, سَارِعُوا. سَابِقُوا means it's a مُسَابَقَة, like in a race. سَارِعُوا, going ahead of the others. And first thing is mentioned is seek maghfira from your Lord, that Allah forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove your mistakes and your shortcomings. So try to do that. Ask Allah to forgive you. First thing is mentioned is seek maghfira of Allah. After that, say Jannah. Because you cannot get Jannah without the maghfira. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. So hasten unto forgiveness from your Lord and for a garden. And the garden is عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That garden is a very vast garden. It's a big garden, like heavens and the earth. So it is, doesn't mean that there is nothing else in the heaven and the earth, but it's emphasizing the vastness of that garden. You know, عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. It doesn't say that heaven fills the heaven and the earth, because there are other things also. Arsh is there and other things are there. And even hell is there. So it is عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ means it is a very vast, very vast. Its vastness is the vastness of the heavens and the earth. And it is prepared للمتقين, just as it was mentioned about the hell before, said عُدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. The hell is prepared for the kafirin, for the disbelievers. Now it is mentioned that Jannah is prepared for muttaqin, for the righteous, those who are conscious of Allah and those who obey Allah and do the right things. And some of the qualities of them are mentioned here, and other places you also have that. The Quran describes qualities of the believers, qualities of the righteous and pious people. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So first thing here is mentioned before the rights of Allah, rights of the people are mentioned. Before you correct your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's also important that you pay attention to relations with others. So spend fi sarra'i wa dharra, in ease as well as in hardship. So in ease, of course, you take care of the poor and the needy. But if you cannot do a lot, at least whatever you can. If you get paid, you should be into this habit of spending in charity. Some people have a lot and some people do not have, or you cannot give always a lot, but always try to do something. Whatever you can give. So it is giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yunfiquna fis sarra, in the situation of ease and prosperity and happiness, as well as in the situation of hardship. Because this is your habit. This is the way of life for a believer. Helping others, helping the good causes. Yunfiquna fis sarra wal dharra. Now, some of our commentators say Allah did not say what to spend. Simply say spend, but does not say what. It didn't say yunfiqun amwalahum. In some places mention amwalahum, their money, but here they say yunfiquna fis sarra wal dharra. They spend. That means if you don't have money, you spend your time, your efforts, your talent. Give something for the good cause. And if you have wealth, then give from your wealth. So yunfiquna fis sarra wal dharra. This should be your way of life. This should be your habit. And the second thing mentioned is wal kadhimin al ghayz, and those who control the anger, restrain the anger. Ghayz is actually the rage. There are two words in Arabic, is al ghayz and al ghadab. Al ghadab is also anger. So ghayz is something inside boiling. Anger. When sometimes somebody something wrong to you, you feel as if your blood is boiling. And anger is something comes out outside, where a person uses hand and the tongue, and you see the appearance of the ghadab on the face. Face becomes red, and all of these things happen. Islam says, control that. Qazimin al-ghayz, controlling, restraining. Don't let it get out. Stay, control it, suppress it. That qazim is suppression. Suppress the ghayz. But people say, if you suppress the ghayz, then it will become into hate. Yes, that's what happens. That if your anger is suppressed inside, then after that people hate the other person. So Allah says, not only that, not you just control the anger, but forgive. Wal afina 'aninnas. You say, I forgive. You say it before Allah, and you say to the person, that is an afu 'amman zalamani. The Prophet said, Allah has commanded me that I forgive those who do wrong to me. So wal'afina 'aninnas. And when you forgive, Allah forgive you. So these are the people, this is the habit, this is the way that they control their anger and they forgive. They not just keep it inside. Because if they keep it inside, they will hate the people. And Allah likes those people who do that. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who spend in each situation for a good cause, and then also those who control their anger and forgive other people. These are the muhsinin. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. So if you want to have the love of Allah, do good things. The doers of good. Wallahu, Allah loves those who do good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people who have their spiritual relations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. As human beings, sometimes they make mistakes. It is not that the believers don't make mistakes. The believers make mistakes. Sometimes they may commit indecent deed. فَاحِشَة. Terrible thing they may do. Mistake can happen. Because we are all human beings, and shaitan is there, and shaitan misleads people. So if they do wrong, if they do anything indecent, or zalamu anfusahum, or they wrong themselves. Because every wrong is, every sin is actually wrong to our own selves. So then zalamu anfusahum, that means they did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not pray, they did not fast, they did not do charity and all of these things. So they repent, zakarullah, they remember Allah. Fastaghfiru li dhunubihim. And then you ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Forgive. Allahumma ighfir lana, Allahumma ighfir lana, Allahumma ighfir lana. Ma qaddamna wa ma akharna wa ma asrarna wa ma a'lanna wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minna. Oh Allah, forgive us. Whatever we did in the past, whatever we did later. Whatever we did openly, whatever we did secretly. Whatever we do not know and you know more about us. Forgive us. Fastaghfirullah. This is istighfar. Wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. And they get up early morning and ask Allah to forgive them. So إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله. Anytime mistake happens, immediately, oh, I did that wrong. May Allah, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me. فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. And ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. And who forgives sins except Allah? Only Allah forgives the sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. إِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Allah says, I am most forgiving. Those who believe and those who repent and those who come to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive for those who seek forgiveness. Hadith of the Prophet said that every morning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches his hand and say, is there anyone who seek forgiveness? I forgive him. Is there anyone who repent and I accept his repentance? وَمَنْ يَغْفَرُ الظُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives the sins except Allah? وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they do not insist and do not persist in whatever they have done. Now, if they have done a mistake, and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realize it was a mistake, stop it. Immediately stop. Don't continue doing the same mistake. Don't say, well, Allah will forgive. No. Stop it. They don't go on doing that, what they did, knowingly. Knowingly, they don't do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. That's why one of the hadith of the Prophet says that the hadith of the Prophet says, "Ma asarra man istaghfar." He did not persist who asked for forgiveness. If you ask forgiveness, that is not persistence. So you ask forgiveness. "Ma asarra man istaghfar." And then there is also another statement, which is some people say it's hadith, but it's not a strong hadith, but it is correct. Say, la kabirata ma'al istighfar wa la saghirata ma'al israr. There is no major sin with istighfar. Even the major sin will be forgiven if there is istighfar. So if you ask Allah to forgive, repent, whatever you have done, Allah is forgiven. لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار ولا صغيرة مع الإصرار. But minor sin, if it is repeated and repeated, it will not be minor, it will become major. Because إصرار, because insisting and doing it again and again and again. So say, لا صغيرة مع الإصرار. There is no minor as long as if it is going on and on and on. So لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار ولا صغيرة مع الإصرار ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. And they don't persist knowingly in whatever they have done, whatever they have been doing. So these are important guidance. This is تربية of the people. This is the moral training, moral and spiritual training of the people coming out of the battle, and they are the, their guidance is about that way. This is the thing that you have to do. So you have to keep on struggling. As they say, there is jihad asghar and jihad akbar. The fighting the enemy and the battlefield, that's minor. The major thing is that you struggle with yourself to improve yourself. Do better things. That is the greater jihad. That is the greater struggle. أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين قد خلت من قبلكم سنن فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا أنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. Their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens with rivers running below, abiding therein. Blessed indeed is the reward of those who work in righteousness. Many are the examples of those who passed away before you. So travel through the earth and see how was the end of the deniers. This is a plain statement for all people, a guidance and an admonition for those who are mindful. Do not falter and do not grieve. You will be ascendant if you are believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who have those qualities that mentioned, that they spend and they give in all situations, helping others, helping the good causes, and those who control their anger and forgive, and those who repent and ask Allah's forgiveness if they make any mistakes, such people will have their reward with maghfira. Sari'u ila maghfira. Rush to the maghfira, to the forgiveness of Allah, you will have it. Mulaika jazaa'uhum maghfiratun min rabbihim. These are the people, their reward is maghfira from their Lord. And they will receive the jannat. So they will receive, they asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them maghfira and give the jannah, Allah will give them jannat un tajri min tahti al anhar. They ask jannah, Allah will give them jannat. Gardens, Allah will give them. The gardens, beautiful gardens, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, the rivers flow beneath, khalidina fiha, and they will be there forever. Wa ni'ma ajru al-amilin, and how good is the reward of those who do the acts of righteousness. Active people in the right way. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. So those will be the people. Try to be like those people. Try to be those people. And Allah said, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَن. Many examples. Sunan is the plural of sunnah. And literally it means the way of life. The example. The traditions, the cultures, and all of these things. So there were many ways of people before you. The people before you, they had different ways. But go and see in the land. Travel in the land and see, study history. Look around, fanzuru. What happened to those who denied Allah? What happened to those who denied his prophets? What happened to those who followed the wrong ways? Became the wrongdoers, committed zulm, fasad, corruption in the land. And the people who did not listen to their prophets. People who rejected the moral ways, the ways of justice and righteousness. These are the people who are the deniers. They denied that. Denied by their behavior. Sometimes denied by their words, but they denied by their behavior, the way they were doing that. And this, the way they were doing, looks like they don't care for what is truth, what is right, what is justice. They did not care for the human rights. They did not care for the justice and fair dealings. So denied Allah, denied his messenger, denied the path of righteousness. What happened to them? This is the bayan. This is the clear statement for humanity. All human beings of East and West, North and South, any people, all people of any color, of any race, of any nationality, of the past and the present and the future, all people. Hada bayanun linnas. This is a message for everyone. And bayan is the clear message. Bayan is the open message, transparent, for everybody to see and everybody to hear. Hada bayanun linnas. This Quran is a bayan linnas. It's a clear message for humanity. Wahudam wa maw'idha. And it's the guidance, and it is the admonition for those who are mindful. Those who are mindful, they can learn from this and pay attention to that, and they will receive the benefit of it. And then Allah says, "Wala tahinu wala tahzanu, antum al-a'lun." This is at that time, of course, it was very, very meaningful for them because they were going through a lot of depression and sadness because they saw that their own dear ones have been killed, and the battle that was almost they were going to win, it turned out into a fiasco. So Allah said, "Wala tahinu, wala tahzanu." Do not falter. Wahan is weakness. Don't become weak. Don't say that, well, what can we do? Now we cannot do anything. No, you can do. That's why the Prophet said, a time will come, in one of the hadith, the Prophet said, a time will come when the nations are going to jump on you just like hungry people jump on a ball of soup. يُوشَكُ أَن تَتَدَعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَتَدَعِ الْأَكَلَةِ إِلَىٰ قَصَعَتِهَا. A time will come, the nations are going to jump on you like the eaters, like the hungry, comes to a ball of food. قَالُوا أَوَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, will that happen because we will be small in number? قَالَ لَا. No. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ غُسَىٰ كَغُسَىٰ السَّيْلِ. But you will be like foam on the surface of the ocean. Or on the flood. The flood brings all kind of things on the top of the water. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ غُسَىٰ كَغُسَىٰ السَّيْلِ. And you will be like that, but you will also suffer with wahan. يُصِيبَكُمُ الْوَهَنِ. قَالُوا وَمَا الْوَهَنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is wahan, O Messenger of Allah? What is this weakness? How this weakness is going to come? The Prophet said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكْرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Because you will love the world, the worldly things, and you don't care that you are going to die, and you are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are not ready to make sacrifice for a good cause. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا أَنْتُمَ الْعَلَوْنِ. So don't falter, don't have one. And don't grieve. Ye shall win. Antum al-a'laun. A'la means supreme, ascendant. You will not be humiliated. But you will have the uppermost, upper hand. In kuntum mu'minin. But there is a condition. It is not going to happen because of your color or because of your race or because of your nationality. It is going to happen if you are believers. Any believers, believers at any time and any place, they will win if they are righteous, if they are good. So be good. Try to do good things. And that will bring progress. That will bring success. That will bring prosperity. And that will bring happiness. أنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين وليمحص الله الذين آمنوا ويمحق الكافرين أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ويعلم الصابرين ولقد كنتم تمنون الموت من قبل أن تلقوه فقد رأيتموه وأنتم تنظرون. If a wound has afflicted you, indeed a similar wound had afflicted the other people. Such days we deal out in turns among people. And this is that Allah may test you and distinguish those who believe, and that He may take witnesses from among you. And Allah loves not the evildoers. And that Allah may also purge those who believe and blight the disbelievers. Or did you suppose that you would enter garden without Allah distinguishing those of you who strived and distinguishing those who remained steadfast? You indeed used to long for death before you encountered it. Now you have seen it while you are looking on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that this setback that you have, this is the way things have happened. It is not that because you are believers, you will always be successful. Every situation, sometime difficulties may come. Sometime wounds may happen. So if you had a wound, remember in the last battle, that is the Battle of Badr, the Meccans had a wound. They suffered the loss. So this is the way the time is. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the way the days are. Sometime up, sometime down. Sometime success, sometime loss. Sometime winning, sometime defeat. Why? Why this happened that way? Because Allah is testing you. So you come out. Allah wants to distinguish the believers and take witnesses from among them. Those who stand for truth, those who are strong, stand for the truth, and Allah does not like the zalimin. It is not that Allah likes the zalimin. No, Allah does not like the zalimin. Allah likes the believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers also. وَلِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهِ. Ya'lam literally means Allah know. But also it means to distinguish, to test. وَلِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah tests those and distinguish those who believe. وَيَتَّخَذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not like the zalimin. وَلَيُمَحِّسَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And through this struggle, back and forth, the believers are purged, purified. And the disbelievers, they are eliminated. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. They are blighted. And then Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think that you will enter the Jannah without doing any effort? And Allah will not bring out, يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ. And Allah will not bring out those, يَعْلَم, Allah, I have not known yet. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made known those who struggle and those who are patient. Allah has not distinguished those of you who strived and those who were patient and steadfast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to their situation that when they were in Mecca, they were seeing that enemies are attacking them and they were persecuted and they wanted to fight back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, weren't you not fighting? And saying that we will give our life to remove this oppression and this justice. And it's what they were told, that no, hold your hands. No, hold your hand. So Allah said, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا. You used to wish for death before you see the death. Now you have seen it by your own eyes. فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. So why you are complaining too much? Don't complain, but rather correct yourself. Improve yourself morally and physically and in every way. Be united. And if you are this way, you will overcome any difficulties, any problem, any difficult thing that you face. So this is the review of the battle, after the battle. But it is not like the worldly authorities review. And they have their own style, but rather it is the Lord of the worlds who is, in a sense, preparing the people morally, spiritually, and in every way to how to struggle in life, how to struggle different kind of battles, not just the physical battle, but the battle of life, how you live that way, and how you come out strong. Strong people, good people, moral people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to follow this message and live in the right way. Let's take a few questions, inshallah.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. I don't see any questions. Anybody wish to ask a question? Brother Kaleem, I see you.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
To everyone who is in this today's session, Dr. Siddiqui, it's a very inspiring section, very action-oriented section, what we have went through. So my first humble request to all those participants who attended today's session is to share the key...
Can you mute yourself, please? Can you please mute your mic, please, all participants?
So inshallah, I hope they will share the very important values, what we are learning, and request Dr. Siddiqui to elaborate more. I know the importance of controlling the anger. Right now, in this such a difficult time, where families are all crammed together due to social distance and many, many things are happening in the other trial of this difficult time. So controlling the anger becomes a very primary responsibility for all the residents of the home. And especially since Islam emphasized the importance of family harmony, this is one of the very destructive behavior, whether it comes out from father or mother, or the children, if they don't mind this important advice. So would you please elaborate a little bit more how to manage this anger management? Just a little bit more.
Jazakallah. Very, very important. It's true that people are getting angry at each other, getting angry on themselves, because of the frustrations, because of the difficulties, economic problems, physical problems, medical problems, all of these things. So it is important to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek Allah's help. And if your relations with Allah are good, inshallah, you will overcome that. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that when you are angry, Then you say, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. I seek Allah's refuge from shaitan. If you're standing, sit down. If you are, take a glass of water, cool down the anger. Turn from your attention, lie down. Leave this the sight for the time. So all of these things are different ways, but controlling the anger is very important. Because if you, in the anger, people do things that then they, after that they regret very much. They feel very sorry. And sometimes things go out of their hands. Then they cannot do that. They cannot bring them back. They say words, and that words become wounds. The words becomes wounds. But, somebody says that people were fighting each other and he is saying bad words to each other. He said, look, the words become wounds. So they started fighting each other, hitting each other. They say, all right. So we don't do words, but we'll do hand. But that's not the point. It's not that you don't use your hand, don't use the words. Try to control yourself fully. The Quran says, Al-Afina Anin-Nas. It is not just controlling the anger, it's also forgiving. Forgiveness, because we all need forgiveness. We need forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that forgiveness will come when we forgive each other. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one of his relatives accused his daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he used to help him. He used to give him financial help. And when he saw that his own relative said this about Aisha, he got very angry. He said, I'm not going to help him anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, the ayah came in Surah to say that, Allah tuhibbuna yaghfir Allahu lakum. Don't you like that Allah forgive you? So if you want Allah to forgive you, then you forgive. Forgive the people. So, afu, forgiveness increases the blessing, increases the honor of the person. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, they say, there are three things on which I swear. One of them is that مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٌ, the money does not decrease because of charity. And مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٌ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the honor of the person who, when that person forgives. When you forgive, don't think that you are humiliating yourself. No, actually you're honoring yourself. The honor comes by forgiveness. And the third thing is the hadith of the Prophet, that is when somebody begs, the begging opens the door of poverty. Begging does not enrich a person. A person will not become rich by begging. So one should not beg. One should try to avoid that as much as possible. مَا فَتَحَ عَبْدٌ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا بَابَ الْفَقْرَ. So just try to stand on your own feet and do your own work. So hadith emphasizes this point, that forgiveness brings izzah. Forgiveness brings honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. May Allah forgive us all and take us towards goodness. We will continue our classes, of course, next Sunday. And I want to, as now the conversation, and we're in a transition as we go towards getting vaccinated for COVID-19, I want to share with you a very important seminar coming up. This is being organized by Ummah Clinic, and will include a number of health experts in the discussion, answering your questions and concerns about the vaccine. And Dr. Siddiqui will also be one of the guest speakers. So mark your calendars. That is for next Saturday, January 30th at 7 p.m. And follow ISOC on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check our weekly newsletter for all updates and program information. Dr. Siddiqui, May we join you for a closing dua, sir.
We also request you to, as we are mentioning in this ayat, yunfiquna fis-sarra'i wad-dharra'i, that is spending in each situation, this is a difficult situation, but helping your institutions, your masajid, it's very important to contribute to your masjid on a regular basis. Masajid, inshallah, will be open and more activities, inshallah, will take place as soon as we get rid of this pandemic. They need to be maintained. So please send your donations, your generous donations to the masjid and support the good causes, as well as you help the poor and the needy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and remove the difficulties of those who are in difficulties. Amen. We pray for our brother Yunus Lakhani, Sister Selina Yazdan, Sister Shahida Mirza, and we pray for the grandparents of Gina Zahur and the whole family, Sister Anwara Khanam, Brother Nurul Islam Khan, and also they are making dua for themselves, for others. MashaAllah, they are doing the reading of the Quran. May Allah bless them. May Allah bless all the people who are suffering, who are in difficulty. Allahumma shfi mardana, ya Allah. Allahumma shfi anta shafi, la shafiya illa anta shifa'an la yughadiru suqma. Wallahi, heal our sick. Wallah, we need your healing, the healing that does not leave any sickness, any disease, any problem after that. And also make dua maghfirah for the people who passed away, especially Brother Sam Bukai, who passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, give him the place in Jannah. Allahumma shfi mardana warham mawtana waqtim bis salihati a'malana. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'ima والفوز بالجنة ونجاة من النار. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.
السلام عليكم.